Welcome to this week's episode of the CPG View, the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by Vizzit, the visual AI platform that's revolutionizing the way brands secure consumer attention, boost sales, and win every moment with consumers with advantaged visual content. With Vizzit, you can increase conversion up to 45%, grow online sales up to 30%, and drive increases in traffic of up to 25%. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your visual content and outshine your competition with Vizzit. Head to Vizzit.com, V-I-Z-I-T.com, to learn more and start captivating your target audience today. Well, Lee, thank you so much for joining this week's episode of the CPG View. You know, our mission is to help educate, encourage, and empower high-impact digital leaders. And having folks like you on the show is just really helps us to deliver on our mission. Before we get started, would you mind introducing your name? Or would you mind introducing yourself and the company you're with?
Yeah. So happy to be here. I'm very excited for the opportunity to talk with you. My name is Lee Dunbar. I'm the head of retail media at Starcom, which is part of the Publicis Group. You may have heard of both of them at some point in time.
Sure have. Heard of retail media, and the name you mentioned rings a bell.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to get your thoughts on, can you share some insights into how the evolution of e-com has impacted strategies with regards to shopper marketing, particularly in the CPG sector?
It's been one of the more significant impacts we've had is seeing e-com start to evolve as, okay, this is leading edge, this is something new. Cool, you started chasing that. And I had the privilege to be part of some of the first e-commerce efforts from a media perspective for P&G and a few other clients. And that was exciting. Little did I know by raising my hand for that, this unlocks a whole new sort of phase of marketing, especially for CPGs that haven't really had the direct response capability before, that they haven't had that closed loop of sales. And that starts to change things a little bit for everyone. And that starts to kind of germinate away just from shopper marketing to, you know, everything above the line. What do we do with this sales data that's now connected to media impressions for CPGs? And that's a massive shift for us. And that leads to, you know, more and more discussions with other components of a client's org. Now, within shopper marketing, it's been interesting to see more, I think, consolidation towards retail-owned capabilities. There used to be a lot of, and there still are, some great partners we've worked with over the years in the marketplace. And some of them are still, you know, operating. Obviously, Aki and Inmar have evolved over the years and really adapted to this. Ground Truth, a few others in market, certainly. But there still has been a little bit more of that consolidation where, almost like Meta and Google have, the retail partners are really absorbing a lot and consolidating a lot of where our budgets were. It used to be a very shopper marketing as a line item used to be the area where, oh, I could test with this vendor, I could test with this vendor. And now it's very, okay, I can test with this capability within the retailer and see how that does for me and working within that ecosystem. It's still a robust ecosystem, but it's certainly a different marketplace than it was even 5 years ago.
You know, it is interesting. So a friend of mine, Andrew Freeman, wrote on not too long ago about the third wave. And it was just talking about how fast retail media has evolved, even faster than, you know, social media. And I feel like we all remember are, you know, going back, you know, 10 years ago, we can remember, oh, wow, we can see how fast a Facebook or an Instagram or a, you know, TikTok in recent years has taken off. But retail media is even going at a faster rate than that is really staggering. And for people like us that have seen those other waves come and you realize this wave is even faster, you realize it's a really interesting intersection to be at, whether you're on you all side of the you know line or whether you're on the brand side. It's just there's so much opportunity here. And especially as, you know, if you look at e-commerce penetration in certain countries, it's pretty staggering. And most of us, you're in a certain market and you just are zoned in on your particular market. Like, it, let's say if someone, a CPG leader, is focused on the US, they're looking likely at, okay, well, 15% of the market ish, 15 to 20, like depending on who you ask and what you include in things, is e-commerce of the total North American market. But then you go to the UK and it's 30%.
Yeah.
Then you go to China and it's 50. Well,
yeah.
The products that you all sell and the services that you enable and the capabilities you deploy are only going to become more imperative to these companies as that spikes specifically within North America to match other areas, regions within the world.
Well, it's been, and what's unique, every market's unique. And I don't want to be the one saying the US market's super unique, but there is something interesting about rural America and e-commerce and how that's evolved. And seeing retailers really make an investment in different marketplaces where it's not just e-commerce innovation in a New York or Chicago or Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's actually, you know, I love to check out different stores when I'm on the road going to Iowa to see some family or up to Wisconsin for vacation. And you're in Dixon, Illinois, you know, even Ronald Reagan's boyhood home, sort of middle of nowhere, as he would call it. And you're at that Walmart and you're like, oh, wow, there's a tower that's doing fulfillment. I think obviously they've shifted away from those capabilities some, but they're still doing pickup and delivery. That's a really powerful statement to be like, that's something that's accessible, not just in population dense areas, because obviously the UK and Western Europe and China benefit from some of that and some of the cost savings of that. But being able to scale those out into more dispersed populations, really powerful, because suddenly, okay, they're benefiting from that and starting to look a little bit different, right? These stores are starting to change what their footprint looks like, what their experience looks like. And we'll see how that evolves. I mean, even Walmart's looking at, how do I partner with small businesses to enable some of them and start to spread some of those capabilities out, maybe make even more revenue off of those pipes by partnering with some others in those areas. Really interesting point in terms of how we're expanding that.
Yeah, completely. You know, one of the other things I wanted to get your take on is, you know, there's no proliferation of digital advertising channels. Retail media is obviously the, you know, 600-pound gorilla. But how does your agency approach crafting campaigns that, you know, really truly resonate with consumers in this omni-channel? You know, some people say that's a buzzword, but I mean, like, really, I mean, how do you build the campaigns that resonate with basically those consumers like you and I and everyone in our family that expects there not to be a difference on our phone or in a store or on our PC or Mac?
Right. I was leading a training yesterday. I was like, pause and ask the client what they mean when they say omnichannel or full funnel, or just use the word commerce in general. So really just understanding what everyone's meaning and what their goals are. Is it to try to build the brand everywhere and really, you know, latch on to maybe a tent pole like the Super Bowl? Is the point to really make up for lost ground or to accelerate maybe a leadership position they have in e-commerce? When we look at e-commerce versus in-store, what we think of is that's the sort of a beachhead for future growth. If you're going to be high growth and high market share in e-commerce, that's going to be an advantage 2, 3, 5 years from now. So there's more discussions around lifetime value as well in terms of attaching objectives. I'd say from a same creative and same visuals, I still think there's some work to be done there, just because you look at RECs on Amazon, you know, those dynamic ads, those are very product page focused. While, you know, that's very hard to attach that to a video experience that someone might have in CTV. And so how do you get more of that matching look and feel? You know, it's important that the look, you know, that we're really thinking of the packaging. And I even find my teams asking questions about, well, what specific SKU are we talking about? We used to just worry about what brand was being briefed. Now I want to know what SKUs there are. How much does it weigh? Is it something you're going to make money on in, you know, all these modalities, or is it just going to be a pickup and delivery situation, or can you actually get that shipped? You really get in your client's business more, which is really cool. Because again, you know, 20 years ago, I think it was very much like, okay, I'm going to talk to the marketing guys. Those sales guys, they're sort of interesting, but I never talked to them. Mm-hmm. Now it's a full gamut of folks that you're connecting with.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can think of And it wasn't so long ago. I would say not even 10, not, I wouldn't go back as far as 10 years. I can remember even conversations 5 years ago where so much of the investment was being focused on traditional media coming from the brand marketing team's budget at any particular company, or the, you know, shopper marketing budget or trade marketing budget funding in-store, you know, investments to be made, typically on pretty meat and potato types of initiatives. Like that's like, you know, like, hey, show me your trade strategy, or you know, and you're like, and you just see Corgan and you're like, okay, well, like, what else do you have? Like, what are the pillars of this comprehensive strategy, as opposed to, you know, the one thing that you are doing with the investment? But I think, you know, you're spot on in terms of, you get in boardrooms today, or you're talking to management teams today. I know you certainly probably, or you certainly are, I am as well. And everybody's definition is a little bit different. So the ability to ask the questions to get everybody centered on what, you know, not even what we believe. We're not trying to even force a belief on someone, but like, let's just make sure we're all talking generally about the same thing as we're having these conversations and making these investments towards the business, and ultimately trying to drive, you know, competitive advantage and profitable, sustainable growth for a brand.
Well, and once you land on the same language, there's a lot each of those stakeholders had to offer each other. You know, the fact that reach curves have been around since the 80s. Now we're starting to use that same sort of approach using curves in a retail setting and starting to talk through, okay, well, you know, how do I control for frequency? That's something we didn't really talk a lot about in shopper marketing as significantly as we did maybe on the media and above the line side, let's say. And similarly, understanding, you know, all right, how can I reduce waste in my media by having access to the understanding of, all right, what retailers are on allocation? What retailers may have some, you know, constraints from a supply chain? Do you have constraints on a supply chain? And how can I even automatically be aware of some of that? So we don't have to have a phone call. It's just connected to my programmatic DSP and I can make those decisions. So yeah, once you land the language, there's a, and again, I think that's blue sky. You know, we're building ourselves there, but we're really benefiting from having retail media to kind of connect us all and have those conversations because we want to make the most out of the millions of dollars that we're spending there, sometimes being asked to spend, and making sure it delivers.
In the race for shoppers' attention and budgets, the goal isn't just more content, but syndicating the right content. Images that don't just fill spaces, but win hearts and drive sales. But how do you know what will capture attention and convert? Enter the era of content effectiveness. Visit's groundbreaking AI, made available to you within Salsify, ensures your content isn't just seen, but felt, compelling consumers with images that make every moment count. With the click of a button, your content is automatically analyzed and rearranged to optimize the appeal of your PDP content for who matters most: your shoppers. Like a 24/7 AI merchandiser at your service, this revolutionary technology identifies and prioritizes the content that maximizes conversion with consumers, taking your online presence to a whole new level. Great content boosts sales, and the future of your e-commerce success hinges on the content decisions you make today. So activate, visit, and Salsify, and watch consumer interest soar, sell more, and make your best product content automatic.
Yeah, I mean, because even simpleton math, right, for a moment, and I forget who I was speaking to a few weeks ago, but we had a similar conversation. Let's just say that this is Lee and Don are the, you know, you're the CEO, I'm the CMO, or whatever, doesn't matter. Let's say we have a $1 billion a year business that we're running. And let's just say, from a category benchmark perspective, let's just say it's a $10 billion company, and let's say 1 billion of that is e-commerce. And let's say the category benchmark for our particular category, doesn't matter what it is, let's say is, you know, 10%. Is what you need to be investing, is what competitors are investing of their net sales to just, you know, table stakes. If you and I think about that, we take over as CEO and CMO tomorrow of this company. You're talking about 10% of $1 billion. You're talking about $100 million that is being spent in this made up analogy.
Sure.
The magnitude of that, I think sometimes can get lost on, I don't, you know, I know I've been guilty of it before, because typically when you're in a business and you're operating, or I'm sure you, when you're working with clients, the size is just relative. It's more so percentages. You could be a $10 billion a year company, you could be a $50 billion, or you could be $1 billion or below. The 10%, if you're just looking at benchmarks, is like, that's where you need to be, just table stakes from an investment perspective. But I think kind of just saying that out loud as Lee and Don, to say, like, we're talking about how we can most effectively invest our $100 million of media is like super important. And I did want to ask you in a moment how you know your business connects the wires a little bit, but I just think, and I think it's so important, and it can kind of get lost on us when we, let's fast forward, and let's say 30%, let's say if you're operating a US, predominantly US business, and they're currently doing 15% of their total business in e-commerce, but then it goes to 30. That 100 million, roughly, let's just say, like, that doubles. Then you're talking about 200 million. Or what if it gets towards, you know, China's range? In either case, it's just, I think, so important that we have the right capabilities and the right systems in place to allow us to make the right data-driven, prescriptive choices with regards to how we're investing in our business.
No, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, again, if I'm the agency for our great company, this all sounds great. You know, I'll take any job in this.
Yeah, you just got a
Yeah,
promotion.
no, I appreciate it.
You're the CEO. You can have the, you can
Oh,
have
I
the,
appreciate that.
yeah, no
This day's
problem.
getting great. My expectation is you should be a steward of those dollars, right? Effectively, regardless, right? And if it's e-com, if it's total sales, like those are, you know, marketing often is seen as a cost center. And so being able to show what those dollars can do, I think the challenge is going to be, how do you get those dollars to show more lifetime value or at least long-term value? Lifetime value is a little hard to come by, I think, in CPG. There's a lot of assumptions made, and folks like to switch a lot. So how do you have infuse more and more long-term thinking, especially in the bonus structure of the company as well? Right, because oftentimes a goal that someone is bonused on might be, you know, media costs. Well, suddenly I'm gonna, you know, drive costs as low as possible. Maybe I'm not driving the incrementality that I need to. And so even though I'm a good steward for you personally in terms of your goals to, you know, get that bonus and succeed, I'm not serving the long-term health of the company. And that's, I think, long-term goals attached to bonuses and how someone's compensated in general. That's a tough nut to crack, especially in a world where if you get more e-commerce percent, you know, a higher percentage of e-commerce demands that you show a response and a delivery for that, because suddenly you have all these numbers to show. But all these, you know, other categories that have experienced that, like finance, like even auto to some level, they have to now build in. They've had to kind of go through those growing pains of, okay, I thought all about short-termism, and I didn't build the brand for someone that's not going to be in the category in maybe 10 years. Maybe they won't be in 5 years. You know, that used to be, I joked around that, like, some of the auto websites, the number one visitor of those sites in the 90s and 2000s were kids, teenagers. I just want to check out that great car, set it up. It's awesome. But I bet that actually delivered for them many years down the road of, okay, I experienced that brand. That's awesome. Now we're talking sales, and obviously it's usually adults and folks that are in the category, the consumer that's making that purchase. But there's still an idea, maybe you're not going to be in that category from a parenting standpoint, all these life stages. It's really imperative to have more of that long-term thinking, especially when you have this sort of drug that's useful, but needs to be properly dosed, is near-term sales. and that closed loop, because you can follow that to your demise and just like do the innovator's dilemma thing and not think, how do you have to pay off the future?
Totally agree. What's that saying? Strategy without tactics is a daydream, and tactics without strategy is a nightmare.
I
And
love it.
it's that pedal and clutch, right? Of like,
Yeah.
hey, we need to make sure we see the holistic long term of, and probably nobody can operate outside of a 3 to 5 year window if we say longer term. But you know, we also have to kind of live in that 90, see almost like see the 3 year picture while we're living in that 90-day world, and balancing those two with some degree of harmony. Because if you go all in on the 90-day view or the quarterly or, you know, 6 month view, your decisions are fundamentally different than if you're looking 3 years out. Conversely, if you're looking totally on the 3 year out view without any optics on the 90-day window, you know, your lunch can get eaten in so many different ways. But no, that's great points. I wanted to ask you one more question here and get your thoughts. You know, you have extensive experience, obviously, in media planning. Can you share a little bit about the role of data and technology with regards to helping to inform, you know, decision-making processes, especially with regards to retail media?
Yeah, I'd say there's two components to that. How do we get data accessible to the folks that are making the decisions and closing that loop? Get it as close to the decision maker as possible, and where we can, empowering those decision makers to be as dedicated. So as you know, I need to have a less senior person, maybe have more power than they used to, and to make those calls and to, hey, let me pause that campaign, let me increase that campaign, let me add those dollars. Having more power along with accessibility to the data is something that we all have to wrestle with, especially in a hierarchical, you know, corporate world of, all right, you got to trust, you got to build trust and empower, you know, the folks that are getting into your organization. And again, generationally, I think that's something they're demanding too, is having more of a seat at the table. So it's coming at a good time, and that has to come with, you know, better education and onboarding. Now, on the second side, I would say more and more we're getting data automated and having decisions being made automatically where I'm not having to wait. So with Profitero, we've been building some capabilities with called Shelf Intelligent Media, where I can start to inform what my bid multipliers are at the start of a campaign based off of competitive availability or competitive behaviors like price. And suddenly I'm automating that. I don't have to wait until someone tells me to go make that decision, or I see the data. It's there, the decision's made, and it's done. And you're making several thousand more changes to your campaign than you were before because you just couldn't do it before. So I think tech and empowerment, I think, are the key, you know, components that we'll have to have.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you in closing here, to be respectful of time, you can go as deep in this as you'd like. Is, you know, as we think about media consumption and habits evolving for, you know, people like clients you serve, brands, consumers, how do you ensure your team stays ahead of the curve with regards to training, understanding new trends within the advertising retail media space?
I point to a lot of different formats for my teams. So I'll say, all right, here's a couple of decks and presentations I've made. I'll do some in-person sort of classroom sort of stuff. But for the most part, I'm like, here's a couple podcasts. Go listen to this while you're on your way to work. Take some time. You know, LinkedIn is a fantastic network in order, and that is free education. But speaking of free education, the number one thing I say is like, when you join this agency, when you join Starcom, you're able to take meetings with almost any vendor you want because they want to sell something. And sometimes folks see that as, oh man, someone's always going to call or email me. Now that's a really good opportunity because they're going to give you a free education on how their tools work, where they see themselves in the marketplace, who their competitors are, what their long-term vision is. And yeah, you may not necessarily, you know, execute with them the next day, but you're getting a great understanding of what they're doing and how they can fit. And suddenly, maybe in a couple months, you look like a rock star because, oh, I remember they said something like this. There may be something to be said about the marketplace. But I think it has to be done in various formats to allow, you know, folks to get the understanding in the format that they appreciate, you know, and it could be I say like fire in all directions. But yeah.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And even I've been sharing on LinkedIn 3 times a week for the last almost 7 years now. And what started as really just an ability for me to help myself learn was to take information, distill it down into a couple points, have a couple graphics, and then share it. Then I would commit that to memory and know that I could go back to that thing that I read.
Yeah.
Different folks have different systems and process, and some of us probably have like a big note on our iPhone or whatever, wherever your notes are at. But
Yeah.
yeah, I think you're right. There's no one size fits all, but I think the point is we should all just continue to keep learning, no matter what our title is, how old we get, how much we think we know, there's still more to learn. Well, this was awesome to spend time with you. I guess I wanted to
Same.
open up to you. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing before we end today?
I just say we're at an exciting time. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm in retail media. This is something that is, accelerating every day, and it's just a pleasure to have a front row seat to that, development.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Lee.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the CPG View, the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders. Mm-hmm.